So it's a good thing that Pornhub released their statistics from last night, because it's good to see that something... Wait, fuck, I want to read...
That cam?
No, not really. The obvious joke was at least someone in Denver beat something last night. I think our listeners know I'm a big Seattle Seahawks fan, yeah. And I am stoked on this Monday afternoon.
Yeah, you are. You're wearing your, I'd call that a Tommy Hilfiger Seahawks themed shirt, sweater thing.
Yeah, it's green and blue and
Tommy Hilfiger.
Very warm.
I'm glad to see that you were actually able to make it for today's taping. I think I distinctly remember telling you yesterday, we were hanging out, and then I said, Cam, I'll see you tomorrow if you're still alive. I don't know what you would have done to yourself if they lost.
I don't even know if I would have survived if that game was close.
Yeah.
I was, like, my heart rate was still about 180 at halftime. They were up 22-0. I didn't think it was over until about 11 minutes into the fourth because, you know, you grow up cheering for Pacific Northwest sports teams. Something bad is probably going to happen.
Yeah, but you're a loose cannon.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that you were that worried. I think everyone knew that that game was over.
Yeah.
And then especially after that Percy Harvin.
That was a big thing, because what I really liked about that is that John Fox, I think that the coach of the Broncos, he clearly had the idea to do the pooch kick at the start of the second half, force them into a return so we can't let their offense get into rhythm, try and force a turnover, something to get us jump-started, and completely backfire.
Right. Well, they should have just done an onside kick or something.
Yeah, that's what New Orleans did a couple of years ago. Anyway, yeah. Obviously our football analysis is not up to par with our hockey.
No, let's talk
or
about
maybe
hockey.
It is.
Probably is.
Are we any good at this?
I think we are.
Okay.
I noticed that we gained 2 listeners last time.
Oh, excellent.
I just made that up. But okay. It's quite possible we did.
50%.
I hope
increase.
We're not losing listeners. Cam?
Yeah?
I guess we should start off by recapping this past weekend.
Yeah.
Which saw us invade the beautiful town of Victoria.
Yeah, great city. Great little town.
It was so clean.
Love their beer.
It was so clean.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely did put up some Canucks Army stickers all over the place. So
at one intersection at the end of our...
Yeah. So if any of you guys are walking... What was that? What was the street? What's the main street called?
Oh, I don't know. It was Douglas Street.
Douglas and something.
Pandora,
I think. If you're at Douglas at Pandora, you'll probably see like 14 Canucks Army stickers just in that one, like, just one little spot and then nowhere else. Yeah. But
It's a fun little city, though.
No, It was fun. We were there to watch some junior hockey.
Yeah, but there was definitely a lot more to do than I thought there would be. There were a lot of little, you know, cool little places to go to and visit. And that's a really nice hockey rink. That was your first time there.
Yeah, it was. But it was great.
Great for junior hockey.
Yeah, they treated us nicely.
We saw 2 really good games.
We did. And we won't spend much time talking about them because this isn't a WHL podcast. But we should mention what happened on Saturday night, because I think that... That's going to be the main part of this podcast.
Well, we can get to that at the end. We should probably talk about a little bit about the actual games and what these mean in the standings. I think we should probably start with the Montreal Canadiens.
Okay.
They had 2 brutal, well, not brutal losses. They had 2 close losses. They can't score a goal to save their lives
right now.
And luckily they fixed it all this morning by trading who?
Well, they acquired Dutch Wayne Gretzky.
The Dutch Wayne Gretzky, Dale Vies.
Yeah.
How many points did he score in the Dutch league?
I don't know.
Like it was in the 130s.
The hilarious thing about that is that
Dale Van Wies.
Well, the hilarious thing is that when you go on HockeyDB, it doesn't even recognize that league. There's no record of him playing there.
Is there any record of Dale Vies existing?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. You know, the other problem with Weiss is that he's a pretty sharp dresser. Not if you step away from, like, not necessarily sharp, but he dresses differently.
He's out there, yeah.
He's out there. And he won't even be that guy in Montreal. PK Subban has him beat.
Yeah.
Carey Price is just a better dresser. PK Subban is a flashier dresser. Dale Weiss, I don't see what he, you know, it's really tough to see what he's going to bring to that team.
Well, so I'm looking at his numbers right now, and I, not that this is like overly relevant or anything, but I did see someone tweet out about how he's the only player in the NHL who has more than 10 points on the year and is averaging less than 10 minutes a game. Or something like that.
Okay.
Which is just an interesting thing.
And that was a similar thing to last year, too. I'm surprised that he got no power play assists last year. He spent some time setting up PK Subban.
No, I'm talking about Dale Weiss right now.
Oh. Oh, my bad.
Rafael Diaz obviously plays over 10 minutes a game. You lose cannon.
Whatever.
He's a defenseman. Even Yannick Weber plays over 10 minutes.
I was looking at something else right now. I was looking at some Rafael Diaz things.
Were you trying to get that porn joke down again? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, I was
trying to make amends.
I'm trying to rewrite it.
all right.
So Dale Weiss is not Rafael Diaz.
He did not spend any time setting up PK Subban last year.
No, he definitely didn't.
And I was wondering where you were going with that.
He definitely won't spend any time setting him up.
I was wondering where you were going with that power play assist stat. I was like, what?
Yeah. Science got completely off the rails.
We'll get to Rafael Diaz in a second, okay. But I mean, you were talking about the Montreal Canadiens, so I figured we should talk about the player they're bringing in.
Okay.
And he's a guy that we've seen probably way too much of because we watch way too many Vancouver Canucks games.
No, you do. I don't.
Well, you did in the past.
Okay.
While he was still on the team. I don't know, people in Vancouver are really critical of him, and I think a lot of it has to do with his off-the-ice stuff because he's just like... You were talking about how he's kind of out there with his dressing. He also was like pretty outspoken, and he had a little dust up with our friend Thomas Drance online once. And
he's notorious on Granville Street.
Here. Yeah, he's
going to enjoy Montreal. We'll just say,
yeah. He is. I'm not even sure if we're allowed to swear on this podcast. So if we're not, I'm gonna just say that he's all right. He's a douchebag.
Okay, that's not really a swear word.
I know, but, you know.
Wasn't even in George Carlin's seven words you can't say.
Legitimate podcasts don't really call people douchebags and stuff, though, okay. I feel like. But now that I know that I can say douchebag, I'm going to say douchebag so often.
And now you know that he's not living in the same neighborhood as you.
Yes. I'm not really
you say what you want about him now.
I'm not really scared of Dale Weiss because that's going to bring me to my next point.
I think we walked by him outside a liquor store once.
Yeah, probably. He was probably asking for spare change.
Wow. Liquor's cheaper in Quebec.
Yeah. We should get to the Vancouver liquor laws after. Yeah.
We're spending way too much time eviscerating Dale Weiss as a person.
No, but we should talk about this because...
But I'm enjoying it so much.
I feel like people don't... that haven't watched the Canucks closely. I mean, you just like search him up and he's, you know, his height and weight are fairly impressive, and you look and he has like pretty high PIM total, so you would think that he's this like rough and tumble dude that is gonna mix it up and give you grit or whatever that even means.
Yeah.
But he's not. Yeah. Like, I think he even has quotes out there saying that like he should have like been featured more as a scorer.
Should have.
And he's just like, and then obviously I don't think that trip to the Dutch League during the lockout helped any because he was obviously playing against like random dudes who work like at the post office and stuff and just like killing them on the ice. And then he came back here and he thought that he should have been more of a scorer and less of a fourth line type of guy. And that did get him in trouble. Like whenever he got into whoever, like AV's coach house, AV's doghouse last year and then Tortorella's this year, it'd be because he kind of tried to like do stuff which was outside of like the range of his skill set.
Yeah. Here's what I'd qualify him as. He's a bigger Brandon Prust that doesn't really mix it up as much as Brandon Prust. Which seems, you know, it seems to me that Montreal is just stockpiling way too many of these guys.
Well, but we did just spend like 10 minutes making fun of the guy. But, I mean, I definitely do think he has a place in the NHL.
He does, but I don't necessarily think it's on the Canadiens. They already have...
Well, especially not for what they gave up to get him.
Yeah, well, as long as it, you know, as long as he gets George Parros out of a regular spot.
Right.
Or...
Well, hopefully George Parros just retires. Like, if he takes one more, like, vicious knockout, that's sad. But...
I don't think that what... It's tough to see what Montreal is really expecting out of him, you know, whether Marc Bergevin sees him as a guy with that kind of scoring potential or offensive potential, or whether he sees him as the, you know, standard goon to head on the fourth line. You don't really know what Marc Bergevin sees, and for it may very well be the second one, yeah. particularly given the kind of players that he's added to that team over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, the Prust, Paros, Francis Bouillon, Douglas Murray, there's just a lot of, you know, there's a lot of height in inches there and not an awful lot of hockey talent.
Yeah.
And it's what makes it kind of depressing, you know, from a Canadian standpoint, is just how good their drafting and development has been. I think it's Trevor Timmins who runs their scouting department. He's done a fantastic job just accumulating all this talent from all over the world. They have this incredible, they have what, like 9 players at the World Juniors, and they're like,
yeah,
you know, some really good players too. Martin Rive and Sebastian Kohlberg and right. Jacob Delarose, just all these great players.
Right.
And
Houdon, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Charles Houdon is another great example.
Right.
Just this. And it's just weird to see them. They draft so much differently than they add talent through free agency and trades.
Yeah. And it's, I don't.
So that's my rant about the Canadians right now. And that's why they can't score any goals.
Well, it's frustrating because like they were so exciting last year. Mm-hmm. They were one of the best stories in the league.
Yeah.
And I think heading into last year, if you told them that they would have had the type of regular season that they did and made the playoffs, I think everyone associated with that team would have taken that in a heartbeat. Yeah. But then the way they kind of bowed out to Ottawa in the playoffs,
yeah,
like it just seems like it made them go back to the drawing board and take this like ill-advised approach, not understanding that they had this young team of players that probably overachieved last year,
yeah.
but was like fine the way it was.
Yeah.
Like, they just kept progressing down that path of just getting the best player, no matter his size or like.
Yeah, exactly. I think Marc Bergevin is another guy. He wants to be so badly what he thinks the Boston Bruins are.
Mm-hmm.
And the Canadians, they were maybe on the smaller, they definitely on the smaller side.
Right.
But they're not, you know, they were going along that same road of just accumulating really good forwards.
Yeah.
And they had that one stud defenseman.
Yeah.
They've, you know, Josh Georges and Andrei Markov are definitely great secondary bits.
Right.
It is extremely frustrating. And, you know, the other harbinger here is if they don't make the playoffs, they've completely wasted this bridge contract from PK Subban.
Yeah.
And unless the team becomes a team that he feels that he wants to win with,
yeah,
you know, he might not take a long-term deal.
I don't know why he would.
Like, well, he grew up cheering for the team.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, he
obviously gets treated like crap.
I know. There, he obviously loves it there. I don't know. He's going to have, you know, he's still going to be restricted, but they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to buy out those UFA years for a lot of money, I think.
Right.
So that's going to be something interesting to keep the eye on.
Yeah.
Do we really need to talk about Rafael Diaz, or do we want to talk about, you know, we watched a lot of games on Saturday.
We did.
And my favorite part might have been Jack Edwards eviscerating David Perron for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. Forget Rafael Diaz. Sorry, Rafael.
Well, here's the down low on Rafael Diaz.
This is the point where Rafael Diaz can log off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, wait a little bit. He's basically Chris Tanev. Yeah. Okay, now log off.
I think he's a bit more, like, offensively skilled and just in the passes he makes. Like, I think, or at least in terms of his approach, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not sure that Tanev might be more talented. I just think he's realized that he needs to play this more conservative defensive style. And
I don't know. I've always liked Chris Tanev as a puck mover.
Right.
Even when he wasn't getting points.
Right.
And it's fair to, hang on, your dog's getting into something here.
This is almost as good as your joke to start the podcast, Cam. Just
yeah.
Stop talking in the middle of a thought because my dog's eating your homework or something.
Yeah. It's eating all my notes. Well, I like the way that Tanev moves the puck. They're both right shots. Tanev was notoriously a bad shooter for the longest time.
Right.
And now he can only shoot from this one spot on the ice, like right in the high slot with nobody around him.
Yeah, Chris Tanev is shot quality.
That's his only shot. And Rafael Diaz is, you know, for a guy that likes to shoot,
right.
No goals this year.
No, and he's not a good shooter, but
yeah.
You know, he is a good. I remember last year. I think we were actually recording a podcast last year during the season, and we were watching like Ottawa, Montreal during the podcast. And I was just talking about how I picked up Rafael Diaz in my fantasy league.
Yeah, I do.
He had like a 10 game stretch of getting like a power play assist in like every game.
No, he didn't get any power play assists last year.
Last year, really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Because I was looking this up last year when I was looking this up when you were talking about Dale Weiss, and
right,
that's what makes it pretty funny. Anyway,
dude, he had 8 power play assists last year.
Okay, fine.
In 23 games.
Okay, that's, so just don't even listen to me.
Ken, what are you talking about?
Don't
were you
even
searching up Dale Weiss's stats?
What are you saying? I think I'm on Brandon Prest here.
I think you're still recovering from this past weekend. But all right, so you started talking about Jack Edwards' performance on Saturday.
Yeah. Now he's a man that does not need to log off.
I think he should have gotten the Super Bowl MVP, honestly. I think they should
Jack
just
Edwards?
Give it to Jack Edwards. Because his performance on Saturday was something that I can't remember the last time I've enjoyed just like watching a random game like that, because it was Boston, Edmonton. Boston was dominating them. I think they wound up winning 4-0.
It was pretty close for a long time. Ben Scrivens was standing
right
on his head.
But it wasn't this riveting matchup where you're my eyes are just peeled through it. Like, I think we were watching Tampa Bay, Montreal on the main television, and you had this pulled up on Game Center on your laptop. And I think at one point we actually were like predominantly watching the TV, the Montreal game, but I just told you to put it on mute and just turn up Jack Edwards talking on the side.
He's great. He's my favorite play-by-play. He's my favorite local play-by-play guy.
Yeah,
that's hardly close.
Yeah, I enjoy him too. He's
way too much heat for
right. He just
for his homerism.
He just loves his job.
Oh yeah, the homerism goes both ways. So yeah, what are some lines that he was yelling out about David Perron?
Okay, well I should probably pull these up because I was live tweeting this performance, but no, they were great, and it was so random because, as far as I know, I mean, Boston doesn't have any sort of like, you know, known rivalry with David Perron. Like, am I missing something here? Like, did they go back or something? Like,
we all know that David Perron has contributed to the Edmonton Boston. You know, it's the rematch of the 1990 Stanley Cup Final.
Right. Yeah. Of course.
Something that happened before Taylor Hall was born.
I just pulled up my timeline. So. Yeah. First thing, I remember this now. I made a good Jack Edwards jacked up joke.
Oh, yeah, Jack Ed.
Jack Ed up.
Yeah, that's when he gets jacked up.
That was a good joke. And then his first one was, I remember this distinctly. Like, Perron, like, went into the corner and kind of just, like, bodied Matt Bartkowski just, like, a little bit. But it wasn't anything, like, that really caught my eye. And then as they skated down the ice, Jack Edwards said, and I quote, "This guy," referring to Perron, "is going to be lucky to leave Boston intact. This was a bad day to poke a bear." And then, like, he, like, said in his, like, threatening, like, voice as his voice just escalated in how loud it was getting. Then I called him a loose cannon. Then his next quote is, "The difference between him," being Perron, "and Marchand is that Marchand will take his bumps. This guy is just living in the shadows." Is what David Perron's doing. He's apparently living in the shadows.
Yeah.
Then he said, "By the way, Marchand has 4 career fights. Guess how many Perron has? Over under 1, take the under."
Yeah.
That's the difference between these two guys.
Which is weird because Brad Marchand isn't somebody that fights a whole, you know. I think you were looking up at the fights that Marchand's been in.
Yeah.
Over so Saturday night, we were looking this up, and he's been in 4, and one was in the finals. And they're all against, like, marginally skilled.
Mike Ribeiro.
Yeah, he fought Mike Ribeiro.
Yeah, I think his toughest fight was, like, P.K. Subban. Yeah. P.K. Subban's not really, like, a fighter.
Yeah. We really should have watched a video of that Marchand-Ribeiro fight.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll attach it to this podcast. Yeah, you know what? Because on Game Center, you can go back and and watch, like, games after they've happened, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go back and, like, record some of these sound bites from Jack Edwards, and then we're just going to, like, randomly drop, like, play them on future podcasts.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
"This guy's living in the shadows." Just, like, randomly drop that when we make fun of someone like Dale Weiss or something like that.
Anyway, the fun thing about that game, I was actually more into it than I was the Montreal-Tampa game.
Yeah.
Because Ben Scrivens was just standing on his head through 40. He led in 3 goals in garbage time.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Edmonton was getting nothing, but it's funny just how well Ben Scrivens has been in Edmonton.
Yeah,
I remember making a point that when Edmonton basically flipped Dubnyk and got Scrivens, that this is going to do wonders for Devin Dubnyk's fantasy value going from Edmonton to Nashville.
Right,
or at least at the very least, he's going to get more goal support.
Yeah,
which it sounds weird at first. And, you know, he's going to face fewer shots. Like, everything's just going to be a little bit better for him. And he's been awful in Nashville. And Scrivens had that 59-save shutout against San Jose. I think at one point his save percentage in Edmonton was better than it was in Los Angeles. I think it still might be, even after that game on Saturday.
I mean, that's what saving 59 of 59 shots will do for you.
Yeah.
It'll make up for a lot. I remember you were saying, like, his point share or something was like 2 points. I'm like, single-handedly won the game.
That's our hockey reference is a pretty cool goals saved above average for goalies, where they compare their save percentage in a pretty good way to the league average, not with a plus or minus percentage, but by like physical difference in number of goals saved.
Right.
And Scrivens, through, you know, 19 games or whatever, was close to Jonathan Bernier as for. So it's really funny just how, you know, Jonathan Bernier is playing incredible in Toronto.
Yeah.
And really, Saturday was the first time that he's recorded a win without playing particularly well.
Yeah.
And, you know, him and Scrivens is doing almost the exact same thing. Which was kind of the knock on the trade. Like, cool, you're picking up a good young lottery ticket goalie, but you're also giving up a good young lottery ticket goalie.
A cheaper one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. So I think Dave Nonis can log off now.
Yeah. No. Not until we point out that Tom Sestito has 5 goals and David Clarkson has 3.
And Dale Weiss, who we were just like eviscerated to no end for no reason. Well, for some reason, but kind of unprovoked, has more points than David Clarkson this year.
But David Clarkson is a little. He's definitely handsomer than Tom Sestito.
Yeah.
Might be, like, it's pretty close in the handsome department between
Who's this Tom Sestito you keep referring to? Top Sextito.
Yeah, Top Sextito.
So now.
Canucks have been doing great since they put him in the top six.
Yeah. I guess we can start talking about the rest of the Saturday games now, since we kind of started talking about Jack Edwards and whatnot. So, as you guys know, this was our second week of our picks contest.
Oh, man.
So. Basically, what wound up happening was, I remember you picked Toronto, kind of ironically, and Ottawa went
ironically.
You hate them.
I don't hate them.
You're cheering for them. You're openly cheering for them to lose every time.
Not openly.
You were devastated.
Not openly. What do you mean I was devastated? I won the game for my next contest.
You were.
They win games like that. Like, they went down 2-0, and you already credited it as a win for you,
right,
for your Ottawa Senators.
Right.
I said no. They come back and they win this, and they did it in such a Torontonian way. Nazem Kadri, the hit from behind, leading to a wide open goal for Joffrey Leupold on the power play.
Yeah.
That is the Toronto Maple Leafs 2013-14 in a nutshell. They just somehow.
No, you know what I think was more of them in a nutshell? It was Phil Kessel like single-handedly winning that game for them, and then Tyler Bozak randomly scoring like an add-on goal and just kind of like jumping in on all of Phil Kessel's work. I think that is the perfect just like metaphor for everything their season has been.
Harrison Mooney, I was watching the Super Bowl with him. He told me that he had a good tweet on Saturday.
He did. I saw it about footsteps or something.
Yeah. Something about Tyler Bozak's going to look back on his career, turn around and say, there's only one set of footsteps.
Yeah.
And Phil Kessel will say, it's because I was carrying you. Which is pretty, and you know, to his credit, Bozak's point a game, which is. That's also hilarious. And if Mikhail Grabowski stays injured /cold/ on a team that's maybe worse than Toronto right now, Bozak's going to end up the season with more points than Mikhail Grabowski.
Yeah, man.
Which is going to be pretty funny.
I know.
Oh, hang on. What are you eating now?
It's okay.
Okay.
That
dog just eats everything.
Yeah. Anyways, so back to our picks contest. So what wound up happening was we were at this WHL game. And we were sitting in the press box, and behind us there was this mini little television up way behind us, but we could still see it. It was within our view. And it was showing the Calgary-Minnesota game.
Yeah.
And you had picked Minnesota, I had Calgary. Yeah. And I think at that point you were up 5-4.
Yeah.
And that game and Chicago-San Jose were the only two games left.
Yeah.
Am I setting the scene correctly?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Minnesota had just, because this was right after Dallas had beaten Anaheim.
Had beaten Anaheim to give you a 5-4 lead.
To give me a 5-4 lead. 3-1, I don't think we need to spend too much time setting up this scene, but just the scene in the hotel room.
Well, I think we need...
I feel like
when you drop the scene in the hotel room, yeah. I think the people are getting now we're the talking wrong about, idea yeah. of what happened.
This is, now we're talking about something completely other than our picks contest. You could say that our picks contest this week was a real tug of war. So Minnesota comes back. It's 3-3, and then it was 1-1 at the time in the Chicago San Jose game.
Yeah,
Calgary, you called the Mikhail Backlund overtime winner.
Yeah, I just said, don't worry, Backlund's got this. He's gonna score, and it's not like one of those things where like when Sidney Crosby scores, you're like, oh well, yeah, obviously like he scores a lot of times. So you calling that a Sidney Crosby's gonna score a goal isn't that impressive? Like I think Backlund has 10 goals or 11 goals in the year. So it's one of those things where I kind of do feel like that was a good call by me. Michael Backlund on the all-hipster team. Four straight games with at least 2 points. Anyways.
Wow.
Calgary. So
everything is going up.
Backlund scores his goal. I'm getting pumped up. It's 5-5. Then Brendan Saad makes sure I'm not going to be Saad by scoring on the power play to tie that game up at 1.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, you went from having this great chance of just finishing me off right there.
To 50-50.
To having to wait till we got to the hotel room to finish me off, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, there we go. So I got this video of Dimitri watching the shootout. Right. I needed San Jose to win, and I'm not sure if you were acting or...
No, I was genuinely distraught.
So anyway, this means I get to pick a game.
Yeah, you do.
For you to watch this week. I believe it's Tuesday. Mm-hmm. The Toronto Maple Leafs are in Florida.
Oh, my God.
This is an upset pick because people are going to point out that Buffalo and Edmonton are playing each other tonight.
Mm-hmm.
However, we've already covered Buffalo. And frankly, with Alex Hemsky back, Jonas Enroth starting in goal, there could be a lot of goals in this game. I think it might be entertaining, if not, you know, a game between two bad teams. Toronto and Florida are both, unless Phil Kessel's on the ice, they're both completely unentertaining, not shot-taking teams.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think the biggest point is that Zemgus Girgensons doesn't play for either of those teams.
And also, I want scoring chance data because it would be good for my...
Wait, so am I writing the recap for Leafs Nation or no?
No, you could, but I'll probably do that anyway.
Okay. I'll just...
I have to stay in Tuesday nights because I have to get up early Wednesday to go down to Seattle for the Super Bowl
party. Oh, nice.
I'm doing a lot of traveling this recent few weeks.
Yeah.
Seattle, Victoria.
Lots of traveling.
I might go up to Camus for the Briar, you know.
Oh, nice.
Catch the spirit. Camp Chiron Travel Agency.
I think we need to have a Camp Chiron Travel podcast.
So do we have this is our last week for the Olympics?
Yeah, it is.
There's not a lot going on this week. Like a very, unfortunate slate of games.
No, you're right. Well, did you read Elliot Friedman's, I think it was in his last 30 Thoughts, where he brought up about how, like, there could be a lot of trades in this next week because a lot of guys are set to get, like, a pretty hefty paycheck during the freeze.
Yeah, on the 15th, yeah.
Right. So he was speculating that there could be quite a few moves, especially, like, you know, if a team is going to inevitably make trades, their owner might be like, hey, how about you save me a few bucks and make this trade now rather than at the on the 5th, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think Luis Diaz was really money-related at all, but I think we could see some more trades in the coming days. Like, I think by the time we record Friday,
there could hopefully be some
stuff for us to talk about. But one thing we will be talking about for sure is our next set of picks, and I think we decided we're gonna do Friday and Saturday because there's an even number of games on Saturday and there's no games on Sunday, and it's the last week before the Olympics, so we kind of decided we'd go all out and just pick like 20 games.
Do you want to pick a game that must watch game this week?
Well, yeah, let me pull it up.
Okay.
Why don't you entertain the listeners while I do so?
Okay. Well, Boston's playing St. Louis, which, you know, it'll be interesting to see if there's any sort of residual hate left over Jack Edwards via, you know, the people that trained David Perron. But I don't think that St. Louis is...
I have a game of the week.
Interesting to watch.
Wednesday, Dallas versus San Jose.
Yeah, I was going to keep my eye on that one, definitely.
I think that'll be fun because San Jose is pretty much must-watch whenever they play, and Dallas has interesting players.
No, the problem with that game is that Dallas is going to be in the second half back-to-back. San Jose is going to be the stronger team, so I think that they'll go Kari Lehtinen against Phoenix. They're probably not going to give Dan Ellis back-to-back starts.
That could be exciting if they give Dan Ellis.
To Phoenix?
Yeah. that could be riveting television.
Well, actually,
that's my suddenly my game of the week. Whatever Dan Ellis is playing in, he just came off a shutout, dude.
Oh yeah, well, and
he shut out the league's best team.
And Phoenix, you know what, fourth ranked offense in the league somehow.
Yeah.
Colorado, Philadelphia might be fun. That's on Thursday.
My low key fun game to watch is definitely Winnipeg, Carolina.
Okay.
I don't think many. I just don't think many people are going to be watching that because I don't think either of those teams are really very mainstream or anything like that. But. I think there could be a lot of goals in that game.
I was talking with Garrett Hull of Arctic Ice Hockey yesterday. He was a bartender at the place we go to watch things and drink.
Right.
And
that's what you do at bars?
Watch things and drink? Yeah, that's a Displace on Displace Hashier and Fourth. I want to give them a shout-out.
Until they start paying us to do so, we're absolutely not giving them shout-outs. And, in fact, if I wasn't lazy, I would have totally just bleeped out what you just said.
Well, whatever. I'm going to say it again. That's Displace Hashier on Fourth and Blenheim in Vancouver.
Tim Hortons, Canada's favorite coffee.
Wow. he's a writer for Arctic Ice Hockey, and he's all over the Winnipeg Jets, you know, recent winning streak that started with Paul Morris taking over the team, and somewhat probably more coincidental than anything.
Yeah.
And
I think I saw it kind of just coincides with like a big like spike.
PDO. A bit. You know, everyone's saying, oh, well, you know, he's just coached the shot quality into the Winnipeg Jets. Or that's what they probably, they're a better defensive system in front of Andrei Pavlik. Or, you know, he's telling them, take better shots, you guys. But it's funny that going into that first game, he didn't even have a practice. He had a morning skate. He didn't even practice with the team.
Are we talking about practice right now?
Sorry?
Are we talking about practice right now?
No.
Not a game.
Not talking. Yeah,
talking about practice.
You talking about practice, man? So he had nothing. Like he did not get to talk to the team before they just started winning in front of him. And you know he's looked really smart. And it just goes to show, like you know, random things that happen in the NHL. And you know, Winnipeg's not as good as they've shown in the last 10 games. Toronto's definitely not as good as they've shown in the last 10 games.
What do you mean, man? Glenn Healy told me on Saturday that this winning streak coincides with them having
Tim Gleason
some
lineup?
Structure in their lineup.
That's actually, well, yeah, I could buy the Tim Gleason thing if it were true. Because when Tim Gleason joined the team, they went on a 3-game losing streak immediately.
I mean, yeah. I usually buy stuff that's true as well.
Yeah.
I could buy it if it's true.
Yeah. It's, you know, like Bernie is playing out of his mind. He has been, and he's really taken hold of it in the Toronto net, and I figure like I have to give him some credit for that.
Yeah.
Anything else this week that, you know, it's not really a good time to buy in fantasy. I think that during the Olympic break might be a good time because there's more time to discuss deals and...
Right.
Or...
Oh, I will... One piece of advice, and, you know, I know this won't help you because you already own this player in one of your leagues.
I do.
But... if you need any goaltending whatsoever, I strongly recommend going out there and picking up Alex Stalock.
Yes.
And I bring this up, obviously, I mean, he had that shutout streak recently, and playing behind San Jose pretty much in every place, he'll probably be anywhere between 0 to 2 goals against and have a very high probability of winning. But I bring this up because it was a story today, Pro Hockey Talk, by our friend Mike Halford the current bloggers.
Great buds.
Yeah. Anyways, he kind of brought it to my attention that the Sharks are in an interesting place right now with Stalock because if he plays in 14 more games this year, at least 30 minutes in 14 more games, he's going to be an RFA.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, he's a UFA.
That's a good point.
And that could save them a lot of money. And, you know, I think they're kind of set in terms of the playoffs. Like, you know, they're going to be in there. They're going to be in the top 4 seeds. They're getting Couture back soon. I mean, they're set. And I think that it would behoove them to try and save a couple of bucks, especially since, you know, Dan Boyle's going to be a UFA, and then I'm sure they got to re-sign Tommy Wingles, and I think that
Timmy Wongles.
I think they're going to want to have a couple extra bucks could mean bringing in another quality winger, right?
Yeah. Like I think that you're that's a pretty good that's a really good point
right.
for you to bring up. And I think that we could have an entire podcast dedicated to the if you need a third goalie, go for a backup that plays very rarely on a good team.
Right.
Is almost always a surefire thing. Except you traded Chad Johnson right before his shutout.
Oh man, killed me. And well, I got Hunter Shikurik for that, so I can't really. Anyways, no one cares about our fantasy teams, Cam.
I do.
Cam, it's been fun. I also noticed you were tweeting yesterday.
A little bit.
Does this mean you're back or
no?
Oh,
no.
Still logged off.
Logged off.
All right. Well, now that Rafael Diaz and Dave Nonis have logged off.
Mm-hmm.
Cam.
Yeah.
You can log off.
Okay. I want to say one thing before I log off.
Sure.
Log off, Dimitri, and delete your Twitter, everybody.